Our Bible reading today comes from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. If you want to follow in the Pew Bible, you'll find this in page 148 in the New Testament section towards the end. So it's page number 148, Acts chapter 1. This is really, it's part 2 of Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel ends with Jesus rising again from the dead. And Luke wrote this book of the Acts of the Apostles, continuing the story and telling us what happened just after Jesus rose from the dead, and then what happened to his disciples afterwards. And we've been looking at different ways that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead affects us as Christians, the hope that we have. So over the past couple of weeks, this is something we've been looking at. This is the last week we're thinking on this subject. And today we're thinking about God's mission, that because Jesus is risen from the dead, that we have a mission. And we're asking, what is that mission today? So Acts chapter 1 from verse 1. Dear Theophilus, in my first book I wrote about all the things that Jesus did and taught from the time he began his work until the day he was taken up to heaven. Before he was taken up, he gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit to the men he had chosen as his apostles. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, he gave them this order: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about. The gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus said to them, the times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they shall be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed in the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven. Let's pray together. Almighty God, as we read and hear your word, may you pour out your Spirit upon us without measure, so that our ears would be open to hear your words and not mine, that our eyes would be open to see your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my favourite hymns, get my words all twisted today. One of my favourite films growing up as a sort of teenager into my early 20s was The Blues Brothers. Maybe that was a big film for you as well. I loved the music in that film, and there was always some very witty lines, very memorable lines from the film. And if you've ever seen the film, it's these two guys who've been in prison. They get out of prison. They used to be in a blues band together. And so they have this idea of reforming this blues band. And so they try and get all their old pals together. And everywhere they go, they tell everyone, we're on a mission from God. And they believe that this band that they have to get back together is somehow being strangely brought together by God. And so everywhere they go, they tell everyone, we're on a mission from God. And I think for many of us as Christians, as followers of Christ, we know that we're on a mission. We know that God has called us to be on his mission, but sometimes perhaps it's a bit vague as to exactly what that means for us, the nuts and bolts of what that means. And so as we look at this passage today, we're looking at, well, what is this mission? What's God's mission? And how is it related to Jesus being risen again from the dead? So first of all, if we ask, well, what is God's mission? In the passage that we just read, Jesus, we're told that for 40 days after his death, Jesus appeared to his disciples many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. This first chapter of the book of Acts marks the beginning of the church's mission to the whole world. And it's significant that Jesus spent much of his time talking about this thing called the kingdom of God. From the very beginning of his ministry, this is what Jesus preached about. It's what his parables were all about as well. The beginning of Luke's gospel, at the start of his ministry, Jesus says, I must preach the good news about the kingdom of God in other towns also, because this is what God sent me to do. For asking, why did Jesus come? That's it in the nutshell. It's about the kingdom of God. And we maybe say, well, you know, what is the kingdom of God? What do you mean by the kingdom of God? The message of the kingdom of God really was good news. The kingdom of God was wherever God was working to push back the work of the evil one, of Satan, the devil. It was wherever God was ruling and reigning in the hearts and lives of men and women. When sick people were healed, that was the kingdom of God. When sinners turned away from their sins and turned back to God, that was the kingdom of God. When religious people recognized their hypocrisy and sinfulness and turned back to God, that was the kingdom of God. When people realized their need for the Savior, that was the kingdom of God. Now that Jesus has died on the cross and risen again, the kingdom of God was breaking out even more powerfully than ever before, because Jesus was alive, because he was risen, because that proved that his death on the cross really did what it was supposed to do, and that was bring us forgiveness for our sins, to cleanse us, to bridge that barrier that is between us and God. I was talking to the kids about the mirror earlier. And often the first step in coming close to God is to humble ourselves. Not just, as Rabbi Burns says, to see ourselves as others see us, but to see ourselves as God sees us. As we look at ourselves in the mirror, sometimes do we understand how far away that we are from God? But Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, brings us close to God. It makes us friends with God where once maybe we were his enemies. That's the good news. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And it's simply about the love of God reaching out to a lost world, to lost people, to hurting people, to broken people. It's God's love going out to the world. It's summed up in that wonderful verse in John's Gospel, chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the hope of the gospel. That's good news. That's why Jesus came to this earth. You know, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, it's only because God himself went out on a mission for you that God took the initiative. Some of you might remember that story that Jesus told about the prodigal son. About the son, the two sons. There was one son who was good. He seemed like a goody two-shoes. And then there was the other boy that was a bit rebellious. He asked for his father's inheritance. He ran away from home. He went away and spent his money on wine, women's song, without any consideration for his father. But then he comes to his senses, and he starts to make his way home. He realizes the pit that he's in. He starts to make his way home. But the father is the one who leaves his house first and goes to meet him on the road and embraces him. He welcomes him. The son doesn't expect anything from his father because he knows what he's done. And yet the father embraces him and welcomes him. And he says, "Welcome home, son. We're going to have a big party tonight." And so that's what they do. They come home, they celebrate. And the father says, "This son who was lost has come home." But the elder son, who was always with his father, who did everything right, it was hard for him. It was difficult for him. Because he thought this was unfair. But this is God's grace. When we talk about grace, it's God's love given to us. It's not something we deserve. But God takes the initiative. God is on a mission, looking for men and women, boys and girls, who will follow him, who will give their lives to him. Perhaps for those that perhaps don't see themselves in that way, if God plays little part in your life, as Christ is not real to you, understand that God took the initiative to love you. He sent his son to die for you. And God desires that none of us should perish, but that everyone might know the blessings of his salvation. Simply put your trust in Jesus, that he is your Lord and God. Trust that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again for you. Turn away from your sin. Start living God's way. Now, this mission of God to bring human beings back to himself is found on page 1 of the Bible, and it's found on the very last page of the Bible and every other page in between. That is what God's mission is. He wants to bring us back to him. He wants to call us sons and daughters. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is proof of this, that God loves us and he wants us to come back to him. So what about our mission as individuals? That's God's mission. Do we have any part to play in that? What does God call us to do as his people? And when Jesus spoke to his disciples after he rose from the dead, he told them that they would be his witnesses. Each of the disciples were to share in God's mission as his witnesses. And witnesses to what, you might ask? Well, a few verses on in that chapter that we read in the book of Acts, the apostles had a dilemma. They had a problem. So if you remember, Judas Iscariot had betrayed Jesus and he had hung himself. But there were supposed to be 12 of them, so they had to choose someone else. And so they said, "So then someone must join us as a witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." So the person they chose had to have seen Jesus physically risen from the dead. They had to have seen him before he died on the cross. And they had to have witnessed him risen again from the dead. That was the criteria that they had for this new man. Now, the apostles were all witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, and you and I can't claim to have that same experience. We weren't there. So what are we to be witnesses of? Well, Jesus, after he rose again from the dead, you remember the story of doubting Thomas? Now, Thomas wasn't there the first time Jesus appeared. He didn't believe. He said, unless I can put my finger in his side and in his wounds, in his hands, I will not believe. And so Jesus appears, and Thomas falls on his knees and he says, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus says to him, do you just believe because you see me? Blessed are those who believe without seeing. That's you and I. If we believe that Jesus is alive, that he rose from the dead, we are blessed. So we do have something to witness to. Although we may have not seen Jesus risen with our own eyes, you have two things that you can point to. The apostles gave us this record in the Bible. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And so we put our trust in God's word. And many of us know in our hearts that Christ is with us. If you ask us how to explain that, it's hard to put it into words. It's simply that you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Saviour and that God is with you. I'm sure many of you would agree with that today. If you ask somebody to explain it, you can't. But you know that he's alive and you know that he's with you. And if you were to try and define what a Christian is in as few words as possible, it's simply someone who believes that Jesus is risen from the dead, that Jesus is alive. There's lots of other things, but that is the one thing that is so important. And our witness is the overflow of knowing Jesus, our desire to see others come to know him too. You know, when we truly love God, we love others as well. It's God's desire that no one should perish. So if we have the heart of God for other people, then we will have that same desire as well. If we love as God loves, then we should be driven by the same desire to see broken, lost men, women, boys and girls come to know him as Lord and Saviour. But as Christians, we're not just operating as individuals. We're a community together as well. We're a congregation. We're part of God's wider church. So what is our mission as God's people here? In Acts chapter 1 that we read in verse 8, Jesus tells his little band of disciples to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And what Jesus is envisioning here is widening circles of the spread of the gospel, going out from that city, Jerusalem, right to the ends of the whole earth. Starting in Jerusalem, where they lived, where they were based, then Judea was the country that they lived in. Samaria was another country next door. And the Samaritans that lived there and the Jewish people, they didn't get on. But they were neighbours. They were very suspicious of one another. And the gospel was to go there as well. And then to the ends of the earth, even beyond those places. But when we think of our own congregation, I think it can be helpful to see our own witness in these terms as well. If we ask, where is our Jerusalem? And we could argue for different things here. I'm going to put this out and test it yourself. I believe that our Jerusalem is those who are closest to us, those who are nearest, our home, our family, those that we live with. That's where our witness has to begin. That the family is the smallest community of God's church there is. It isn't a congregation, it isn't people who meet in a building on a Sunday morning. It starts with family. In the Bible, from beginning to end, God's community always starts with family. And strong churches are always built on strong families who worship Jesus, love God, pray together, share together, acknowledge God when you're sharing a meal, praying with your children, worshipping together. It used to be in times past, the duty of an elder was to make sure that the family had family worship on a Sunday. And so the elder would sometimes go around and check up on a Sunday that a family was actually praying together or worshipping together. But as a congregation, that even our own homes are where it has to start. If we can't be witnesses to Christ in our own homes, what chance have we got to be witnesses anywhere else? Our Judea is perhaps the community that we are a part of here, as we meet on a Sunday morning, as we meet during the week. That we're a family, a wider family of God's people. We know one another. And it's sometimes a challenge to be a witness to Christ, even in a congregation, because we're all different. Sometimes we disagree. Sometimes we rub each other up the wrong way. And it can sometimes be challenging to be a witness for Christ, even in a congregation of God's people. So we are to be witnesses to him even here. Then our Samaria is perhaps the wider community. In many ways, perhaps the many people see themselves disconnected from the church, perhaps suspicious of the church. Some who would never think of coming through these doors in a month of Sundays. When Jesus spoke to a woman from Samaria at a well one day, there were many barriers he had to break down to be able to share God's love with her. And Jesus was being a missionary that day. In many ways, we, as God's people, we have to do the same. We have to recognize that in many ways there are barriers to people coming to church or coming to hear the gospel. And we have to be able to see those things, and as Jesus did, be prepared to break those things down. And lastly, to the ends of the earth. Although we're perhaps a relatively small congregation, we must never forget that we're part of something much bigger. God's church throughout the world. And in some ways, the Christian gospel in the 20th century and into, you know, the beginning of the 21st century has spread right to the ends of the earth. There are many, many places which had never heard the gospel before now have a chance to hear the gospel. But there are still almost 2/3 of the world's population who have never had a chance to pick up a Bible, to read it in their own language, to hear the gospel preached clearly. So while there are any people on this earth that have not heard the gospel, it is our duty to be a part of that mission as well. We can't just think, well, that big church along the road or some other church, they'll do it, because they have the resources. But it's doing what we can for God's mission in the world. It was John Wesley, a great Methodist preacher, once said, "The world is my parish." Now, he didn't preach in buildings. He went out to the fields to preach. He went out to the mines. He went out to the factories, out in the streets. He preached to men coming out of their work. In many ways, we need to see our world in the same way, that the world is our parish. We have priorities here in the community, in this parish that God has given us. But we also need to see the whole world is the parish that we have responsibility for too. So God's mission is our mission as well. And it's all about Jesus. It's because he rose again from the dead that we have anything to say. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, we have nothing to share. We're as well to pack up and go home. But because Jesus rose again from the dead, we really do have good news to share. Because Jesus is risen, God's kingdom is growing every day. Men, women, boys and girls are coming to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Broken lives are being transformed. The power of addictions are being broken. Relationships are being restored through the power of God's love. And it's amazing that God would want any of us to be a part of that. And yet he does. He calls us as individuals to be with him on his mission. He calls us as a congregation to be with him on this mission. And it's the greatest privilege ever to work with God in his work and what he wants to do. There's no higher calling than to serve Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the good news of the gospel. We thank you that Jesus died and rose again. We thank you that we do indeed have a message of good news to proclaim to our family, to our friends, to our neighbours, to our community and to the whole world, that Jesus is alive. Lord, help us, give us courage, give us strength, give us a new vision to be your witnesses in our everyday lives as we seek to be your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.